all kinds of things. One of the, you know, I read through a big chunk of Psalms this morning. Just finished the book of Psalms. And one of the things Nellie and I were just praying out and talking about is this whole idea of there is always something that you can praise God for. There's always something you can be thankful for. Whether things are really, really good, obviously you've got something to be thankful for. Whether things really, really aren't good, you have something to be thankful for. And so let's together, regardless of where we're at, we all have this in common, that we can all praise God. Amen? So, Father, we just say this is about you. This morning we're gathering together to be in your presence, to worship you, to praise you, to bless your name. And we just say that we are thankful for you. We are thankful for all the good things in our lives. Whether we're keyed into them right now or not, doesn't matter, because you, Father, are good. And your love endures forever. You are good, God, and we invite just an increased revelation of your goodness in this place. And everything that would seek to resist that, we just say go in Jesus' name. We just say we want to know your goodness at a deeper level. We want to know your faithfulness at a deeper level. We want to know that you are true and stable and consistent and constant, that we can rely upon you, Lord. So let us pray peace over this place in Jesus' name. Pray presence over this place in Jesus' name. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Even right now, we can feel your presence. So let that increase. Let that increase. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. Father, we just say it's good just to be in your presence. It's good to be with other people that want to be in your presence. We just bless you. Father, we bless you. We love you, Lord. If you feel comfortable, just open up your hands just as a sign. Just going to pray, just Father, would you fill us with a greater measure of your Spirit? You say that we're to be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled to a greater measure of your Holy Spirit. So would you fill us, Father? Let there just be a deep outpouring, just a pouring out of your Spirit upon your sons and upon your daughters. Places that are low, pray, God, you'd bring them up high, Lord. Places where people are struggling, you'd strengthen, Lord. Just fill us up, Lord. Fill us up. Thank you, Lord. We want your will to be accomplished in our lives and for your kingdom to be manifesting in our lives. We want to be a people who hear your voice and respond to your voice. Lord, we don't want to have hard hearts and stiff necks, and when you speak, we kind of go the other direction. We want to respond to you. We want to do what you're doing and go where you're going and say what you're saying. And Just bear with me as I have you do a couple things here. Sometimes there's something about just doing something physically that releases something. And I just have the sense of the Lord's just saying, will you give me your agendas so I can give you mine? Will you give me your agendas so that I can give you mine? And so my answer to that is yes, Lord. I don't want my agenda. I'm tired of my agenda. Thank you. release our agendas. We want to release our agendas to you, God. I feel like for some of you, it's very specific. We want to release, Lord, our agendas of career, our agendas of a spouse. We want to release our agendas of what we want other people to do for us or stop doing to us. We just, Lord, we want to release our agendas. And in that place of just kind of release, we want to invite your agenda, your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Would it be weird to say I love you guys? Don't know a lot of you, but love you guys. Grab a seat. Couple last quick things. Sean Gravely, just want to give a shout out to him for the thing he put together with a team, for sure. But last weekend we did a little cookout afterwards, and it was awesome. So Sean, that's great, man. Very cool. And the men's prayer breakfast was yesterday, right? Right? Okay, sweet. So just these guys are initiating stuff. So that's awesome. So good. I remember Sean got together with me, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago or something, and just had mentioned, hey, man, I would love if we did some, like, basically what we did last weekend. He's like, it would be cool if we did stuff like that. And I was like, man, I agree. And he's like, well, how can we do that? I said, man, if you get a team around you and go after it, you can do it. He's like, seriously? I'm like, yeah, go do it. And he did it. So bless you, man. It's awesome. Well, Bradley is going to be coming up. Brad is going to be bringing, we're continuing. Do we have that slide that Colin made? We don't know where that is, do we? We got to get that back in the, there it is. All right. Pursuing unity. That's what we're talking about. Would encourage you, go to the website, listen to the previous messages. I really feel like this is a seasonal word for us, not just as a body, but I think as individuals and our families and our friendships and our workplaces. I've just been hearing several of you to say, wow, this is exactly what I've needed to hear. I wanted to say this right before Brad comes up. It's amazing to me. I think sometimes we can be like, oh, yeah, you know, unity, I get that. Or specifically, Brad's going to be talking about how we use our tongues. Yeah, what do we speak? What comes out of our mouths as it relates to gossip, things like that. And I think often we can feel like, well, we're beyond that. But here's what I want to say is I am amazed. Even the last 2 weeks, I went to Murfield. A friend invited me to go to the Murfield tournament, and I'd never been, so I went. And I had just been kind of preparing a previous message. And when I was walking around, I just happened to be, and I wasn't like in judgmental mode. I wasn't like feeling judgmental, but I really was listening to conversations just because there's a lot of people at the Murfield, and I was just listening. And I was amazed at how many of the conversations I was overhearing were a group of people talking about somebody else who wasn't in that group of people. I don't know if you've ever, maybe I'm just more sensitive. I was just like, it was unbelievable to me. I mean, I wasn't like trying to find the people who looked like they were, you know, talking about people. I just was walking down the path, and I would be behind a group, and they'd be, I was just like, this is crazy how much this happens. And even this week, I've talked to two different people whose family, and this just affects so many different places, families. And one of the people I was walking behind it was a business, and they were talking about, I think, their vice president, and just railing them. I was like, oh my gosh, like, poor vice president, you know, like. And then I was talking to some people this week, two different people whose families are just blowing up because of basically gossip and the power of gossip, that it really is something the enemy loves to use to divide and conquer. And so Brad has a revelation on it. And so I just want to encourage you, just even if you feel like you get this, I feel like I get it, but I need to hear it more. I need to be refreshed in it. And it's something the enemy wants to use to divide us, because if we're divided, then we're defeated. And if we're united, then we win. So, amen?
If you have a white SUV in this parking lot, if you can, like, move it out a little bit, it has buck stuff on it. Anyone? Oh, yeah, it's blocking them a little bit. Thanks. Amen.
Okay. Am I on? Hey. I already switched it. Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay. I'll just keep talking to myself until I can hear that I'm on. How many of you do that when you're in your house? You actually walk around talking out loud to yourself? I do it a lot. It's actually a good thing. At least I tell myself that. Okay, like Joshua said, we're in a series on unity. I'm continuing in that. But the way I'm going to continue in it is to take a part, what I personally believe, the scriptures reveal to be the number one enemy of unity. I mean, you know, it's very critical. Anyone who's going to lay a good plan for battle or war, a commander-in-chief that's going to lay a battle plan, one of the most important elements of that plan is to study the enemy, to know the tactics, the methods of the enemy. There are some books written on war, and this is one of the parts they emphasize. How many of you know, even in sports, we do that? When the big game's coming up, what does the team and the coach end up doing the entire week previous to that game? Studying films of the enemy, the opponent, right? And they will sit there and study his tactics. Hey, look, you notice this guy? He always goes to the right when he's going to the bucket. Look at that. Every single time he goes to the right. Bobby, you've got him. Force him to the left. His strength is to the right. We see that. Force him to the left. Look at the fullback. Every time he's about to get the ball, he puts his back leg back. Every single time he puts that leg back, I want a blitz from the double linebackers in the middle. I want you blitzing every time he puts his leg back. You study the enemy. You study his tactics so that you can take him out. And that's what I want to do today. I want to address what I believe the scriptures reveal to be the number one tactic of the enemy to destroy unity, the very thing we're after. Wouldn't that be wise to know what is that? What is that number one weapon of his? Now, whether or not it actually is the number one weapon, I don't know. I don't think it really matters. What I can tell you, I'm going to show you from scripture, it is in the top list of what he uses. I personally believe it is absolutely the number one weapon. So here's my hope, here's my desire, that if we as a body can become completely immune to this, if we shut the door in the enemy's face on this deal where he cannot touch us because we don't give him opportunity in this area, if he does dribble to the right every single time and we force him to the left where he's weak and can do nothing to us, we position ourselves in a place to find the most outrageous unity in this body. We can shut the door to this tactic of the enemy. So then you might ask yourself, what's the big deal about the unity? I mean, that may sound like a silly question, but I believe it's probably at least somewhat in the minds of every one of us. Why all this talk? Unity, unity, unity. We've got to have unity. What's the big deal about unity, right? I mean, it can really sound like, you know, it's just not that big of a deal. Listen, I'm walking with God. I'm born again. I love God. I'm good. You know? Why do we have to have all this unity in the church? Well, let me tell you, I think it would be very important for you to know that so that we understand the value of stopping the enemy from coming against this unity. We should want unity with everything in us. But you're not going to really go for that. You're not going to really want that unless you understand the value of unity. Let me just tell you in a nutshell what the value of unity is. Why unity? Why such an importance on this issue? Because unity literally brings the power of God in your midst. And the lack thereof diffuses the power of God. I can show you many scriptures that would prove that. In fact, it'd probably be good to take a quick look at it. You know, this is going to take some time. I thought about this as I've been preparing for this message. There's no way I'm going to get this message done in one or possibly even two messages. So I'm just going to take my time with it, all right? I'm not going to rush because it's important. So I'm going to spend a lot of time prefacing in this particular teaching. I knew that coming into today. So I just want you to know that I don't want you to be rushed. I want you to just settle in and listen to even what might seem like a very long preface to the teaching. The part I'm talking about now is important. It's just as important as the message itself. So let's talk about, I'm going to show you a couple examples. I want you to open up your Bibles, if you would, real quick. Let's just going to move to a couple scriptures. I want you to see what the power of unity does. This is throughout the scriptures, throughout from Genesis to Revelation. This example is there, clear as day. Look at Acts chapter 2. I think Joshua might have even mentioned a few of these in the last couple of teachings, but they are worth repeating. Acts chapter 2, and starting at verse 1, it says this. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Right there is the first mention of a Honda in the Bible. I don't know if you know that. They were all in one accord. Okay, moving right along. So, now look at that. They were all with one accord. Do you know the scripture? Every single word has meaning. This isn't written by a man. It was written through a man, but it was written by God. God is not like man. He doesn't waste any words. Do you know that about the Word of God? When he gives an example, he says, like a lion, or like the cypress tree, or like an eagle. Even when he uses analogy, it is very specific. It is really awesome. When he says that, stop right there. Get on the internet and study everything you can about a lion. And you will get revelation of that verse. He uses his analogies with purpose. And here, for example, when he says they were all with one accord, he means this. If you look up the word, the Greek for the word all, it means all. So when he says all, he doesn't mean most. If God meant most, or if most were in one accord, he would literally say, most were in one accord. That's how God is. He's very exacting with his words. So it's awesome to see this. You know, this is important when you're reading the word. Slow down and really listen. Get everything that he says. Glean everything out of the scriptures. They were all with one accord. You ever thought about how does that happen? How does an entire body, every single person in that room, come into one accord? You know, that word in the Greek of accord literally means to be of the same passion. They had the identical passion. Every single person in the room. There was not one person in that room disinterested, unconcerned, with apathy in their heart about the subject being taught. Everybody was very attentive to the subject matter at hand. They were all with one accord about something. What was it? They were waiting for something Jesus told them to wait for, a power of God coming. And so it says here, they were all with one accord. And when they were with one accord, look what happened. Suddenly, there came from heaven, the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. What happened? The power of God came on that group of people when they were all with one accord. Look at chapter 4, just a page or two over, depending on the size of your Bible. Chapter 4 and verse 29, and look at this prayer. They begin to pray. There's a group of people together in a room. Again, a group of believers. And it says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Now, this isn't an earthquake. It's not taking place all over the area. It says the place where they were. Can you imagine if just this place, this building, began to rumble and shake? Nothing outside the building is shaking. Just this building. the place, it says, where they were assembled began to shake. And they were all filled, every single one of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Look at the very next verse, which gives us a powerful insight to why this happened. Look at the next verse. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Do you see it? That group of people were of one heart and one soul. And look what happened. The power of God came and shook that place. Let me show you another example on the opposite side of the spectrum. Go with me to the book of James. Turn far to the right. If you went to Revelations, go back to the left. You find Hebrews. It'll be the next book after Hebrews to the right. So it's towards the end of your Bible there. The book of James. Find chapter 3. And let's start with verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? All right, and you see how God opens this up. He says, listen, I'm talking to those who want wisdom or who are wise. That's who I'm talking to. Who is wise among you? Who wants to be wise in the eyes of God? Three of you. All right. So, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, does this sound like someone who's in one accord, of one heart, of one mind, like passions with everyone else in the room? If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking, do you see, it's the opposite of this unity. Unity wants everyone together. It's hoping for everyone else. It believes for everybody else in the room. It's loving, right? It's you're for others. Disunity, I don't care about you. I care about moi. Self-seeking. And it says, this wisdom does not descend from above. No, verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, look what happens. Is God there? It says, confusion and every evil thing will be there. That is the opposite of unity. This is why unity is so powerful. When we are unified, when we are of one mind, when we have a like passion, we're all together. We are for each other and not against each other. We are for each other. The power of God comes. God shows up when his children are acting that way and conducting that way. You know, it says that the praise of God, God inhabits the praises of his children. It's when we're lifting him up, when we are together saying, we say yes to God, we say yes to your ways, sir. We bow to you, sir. What you say goes. God says, now I will show up in that environment. I will bring you all that I have for you. God has so much for us. And I would say that every one of us probably in this room are just tasting maybe 1 or 2% of what God has for us. Really. I mean, personally, I'm tired of playing church. I want to see the power of God, the real stuff, not talk. I don't want to talk about the power of God. I want to see, experience, live in, swim in, do the backstroke in the power of God. You know what I'm saying? Come to church where people are getting healed, getting set free, not talking about it, but really experiencing it, the real thing, where God is showing up, where angels are appearing. I mean, think about what would happen on Saturday when that's happening every day on Sunday. What's Saturday going to be like? When you go to bed on Saturday, it's going to be like Christmas Eve, right? It's going to be like, hey, church, tomorrow. I mean, we're going to be fired up about going to church, and that's the way it should be. You know, when you read the New Testament church, the people were outside the church all the time. You know why? Because the church building was packed. The temple was so packed, people couldn't get in. So it was packed every single time. When they heard Paul or Peter was about to preach, the place was packed out and there were crowds outside. That's the way it should be. Do you know what brings that? It's really not even good teaching that brings that. It's not good worship that brings that, even though that's all good stuff and very important. It will only go so far. Good teaching, good worship will only go so far. What people are hungry for, the soul of man is hungry for, is God. The real God. The creator of the universe. And what we are endeavoring to do as a leadership right now is to address this issue of unity. Because if we can get the unity, if we can get ourselves together in unity, we invoke the power of God to come into our midst. He's ready. We're not waiting on him. He's waiting on us. And so what I'm going to talk about today, and not next week, we're going to bring in a Father's Day message next week, but then I'm going to pick it back up the following week. What I want to talk about today and in the next week or two is that which destroys this unity. And this particular topic, I believe, is the number one weapon in the arsenal of Satan to destroy unity. And that number one weapon is, bam, gossip. Now, we may think, as soon as you see that, oh, come on, really? I'm going to show you from the Word of God, yes, really? It is that big, it is that powerful, it is that demonic. What I want to do is I want us to renew our minds to what the Word of God says about this subject, not what you or I think about this subject. How many of you will agree right now to say within yourself, to your own heart, I will agree with whatever the Word says about this subject? Can I see your hand if you will agree to do that right now in your own heart? All right. In other words, I will put my opinion aside and I will let the Word of God tell me what it has to say about this subject. And the reason I say that is because I believe there are far too many of us that put this aside as, yeah, I know it's not good, but, you know, it's just that little bad habit that I have. I want to lift this thing up to its proper place and show you it is not a little bad habit. I want to show you that this is literally a satanic act. All right? I'm going to show you that from Scripture. So let's go ahead and delve into some Scriptures right now. We're going to go through several very quickly. And why are we doing this? We're going to do this so that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. I'm going to prove to you, without any doubt, this is a satanic activity. It's not just your little bad habit. You know, I want you to understand something. This will probably help you to get this. You know, there are three influences to us at all times in our life. There's the God influence, there's our flesh, and there's demonic influence, right? We're in the middle. We are the command center. We decide. Satan is trying to influence us to do his bidding. God is wanting to influence us to do his. Every activity that we do in life, every conduct, every word coming out of our mouth, every behavior is either an act of the flesh, a satanic act, or an act of the Spirit of God. For example, when I prophesy or speak in tongues or lay hands on the sick and they are healed, how many of you know, if I personally do that, that was not me? How many of you know I could not heal the left wing of a gnat? But I have laid hands on sick people who have been absolutely, beyond question, healed by the power of God. Myself, I've been healed numerous times, several times. I don't know about numerous, but probably 50 times, maybe 100, I don't know. It's been 28 years now I've been walking with the Lord. I remember the first one. Wow. The first time it happens, it is incredible. You know, jumping, shouting, going crazy, incredible. And now it's happened to me many, 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 many times. I've laid hands on hundreds of people literally who have been healed. I cannot do that. That is God moving through me to do something. Every time I pray in the Spirit, I cannot do that. That is God moving through me to do it. Now, He goes through me. He uses me. I become a vessel. Romans 6:13 talks about, let us present our members as instruments of righteousness. Right? Unto God. Not instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. I said it backwards, but it says, let us not present our members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We are an instrument, a vessel that we're going to be used either by God or by the devil or just as an act of our own flesh. So the point I want to make here is gossip. I think most of us write it off as just an act of the flesh. What I want to reveal, I'm going to pull back the scriptures and show you from the Word of God, it is not just an act of the flesh. I want to show you it's literally Satan coming right up through you and using your tongue to destroy and to bring disunity. All right? I'm going to show you. The scriptures will show you and tell you. This is not Brad's opinion. This is demonic. Why am I emphasizing this so strongly? Because we need to stop it. I don't mean just us. I'm not here. This is not a rebuke. I'm not here to condemn anything like that. This is me, the coach, talking to the team about our enemy. I'm not here to kick you in the teeth. I'm here to kick Satan in the teeth. Amen? So I just want us all to become aware. Oh, I see it. I see what it is now, right? It's like two kids that have been playing with toy guns for, years. And then later, years later, learning and realizing those weren't toys. Wow, those were real guns we were playing with. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to raise our awareness to realize this isn't a toy. No, this is really serious. This is truly a demonic weapon of Satan. I believe if we get that, I believe if our minds get renewed to the reality of this, it will go a long way, if not completely sufficient, to get us to slam the door in Satan's face on this issue and shut our mouths. Amen? Every single one of us, myself included, if we do that, we will stop the ability of Satan to be able to move in our midst, and we will introduce the atmosphere for incredible unity. So, the first scripture I want to bring up is 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says this, Paul's talking about unforgiveness happening within the body, and he says, listen, I forgive this person, and I encourage you to do the same. And then he says this, 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You see this, what Paul's saying? He's saying, we're not ignorant of his devices. In this particular case, he's talking about unforgiveness. Well, unforgiveness is very intertwined with gossip, but it doesn't really matter. The point I want to bring out about the scripture is how Paul is talking about Satan has schemes and devices and activities, and we are not to be ignorant of it. You know, the whole thing I was talking about, studying your enemy, just like in sports, you study the other team. In war, they study the other enemy. They learn what type of arsenal they have, what their typical strategies are, and then they plan against that. Well, Paul's saying the same thing here. Let us not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And Paul says, we are not ignorant of his devices. I know what he tries to do. He wants us to have unforgiveness in our hearts towards each other. And he says, I have no unforgiveness, lest Satan should take advantage of us. Look who he's saying will take advantage of you. Satan is taking advantage. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, or you can just look up on the screen. Another verse that talks about this. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against, look at this, the wiles, it says in the King James, New King James, or other translations say the schemes, the methods of Satan. Put on the whole armor of God. You see the warfare verbiage here? Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the enemy. So what does the Bible say about gossip? Here's where I'm going to just go into some scriptures. I'm going to go through quite a few, but I just want you to know this is literally probably one-tenth. I don't think it's even that much. There are hundreds of scriptures about this subject. That's how serious it is to God. But I'm just going to blow through a bunch right now. And that's pretty much all we're going to get accomplished today. I'm just going to begin today to show you from the scriptures how the importance that God puts on this subject. And then the following weeks, I'm going to go into things like, how do you handle gossip? Why do we gossip? What's the heart issue behind gossip? And what happens when we are involved in gossip, either on the giving end or the receiving end? I'm going to show you from Scripture what happens to you spiritually, to me spiritually, what happens to the body, so that we just pull back the veil on this thing and we see it for its ugly face that it really is. Amen? So let's go through some scriptures really quickly here. Where is the first one there? Okay, good. That way I know where I am. You shall not go about as a talebearer. By the way, the Bible doesn't always use the word gossip. It'll use words like talebearer, slanderer. It'll say things like he who speaks evil of his neighbor. You know, what is that? When you're speaking evil of your neighbor, it's gossip. What does it mean when you're slandering somebody? You're gossiping about that person, right? So I'm primarily using the word gossip, but you know, understand the scriptures will use various words. They all mean the same thing. It's speaking negatively or evil about another person, right? So here it says in Leviticus 19, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You see who's talking? And you see what he says, do not do. Look at the next verse. Proverbs 10:18 says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. This is what you and I are in the eyes of God when we spread slander. We made ourselves a fool. Who wants to be a fool? Amen. Me either. Amen. The next verse, Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer, look at this. This is God's mindset on this, all right? We're getting God's mind. Remember we made a decision. I asked you to ask yourself and make this decision when reading this. I'm going to put my opinions aside. I open my heart to know what God has to say about this subject and renew my mind to it, that I will no longer consider it a small matter. If the Word of God says it is not a small matter. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. I love this verse. I've thought about this verse. I've meditated on this verse. I've used this verse to talk to myself many times over the years. Proverbs 11:13. One of the things I get out of this, I just want to spend a few minutes on this. I want you to see some things that you may be surprised to find out. Do you know God honors, respects, and gives place to privacy? I say that because, even though it might sound silly, I find that to be something that's almost lost when you become a Christian. Christians feel like, well, once you're a Christian, man, it's all on the table. You know, come on, tell me all your sins. Tell me everything going on in your life. I personally don't believe that that's a good thing. I'm not saying never. I'm not saying there's no place to talk to someone and share. There certainly is. There are scriptures that would support that. I just want you to know this. God respects and honors privacy. God understands that we are going to fall. We're going to slip. We're going to sin. He does not say, you need to go tell people about it. Most of the time, it is sufficient to go to God, repent, and leave it between you and the Father and move on. Now, if you happen to confide in someone about it and you want to tell them, that's your choice. That's your freedom. Nothing wrong in doing that. All I would say is choose your friends carefully. And then here's what God says to that person that just received that very valuable private. The word private isn't used much in the scriptures. It uses the word like secrecy or secret. When you receive that private piece of information, God's looking to you. He's looking at you as to how you're going to handle that. And he says, when you tell somebody else, God calls you a talebearer, a gossiper, a slanderer. A talebearer reveals a secret. But look what he says. Look how he describes the person who keeps that to themselves. Someone confided in me about something, and I say, you know what? That's going to my grave. I will never tell another soul. You can trust me with that. You know what God says to a person like that? He who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. You know, Satan wants to sow this lie into you. Well, it's the truth. You told that person, but it's the truth. They really did it, as if that's a license to tell. God says, no, it's not a matter of whether they actually did it or said it. It's not the point. It's none of your cotton picking business to tell another person. It's none of my business to tell somebody else. He says, because as you see here, he's not covering up. He's not saying there is no matter. He says, he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. There is a matter. You understand? There is an issue. There was something. God's not saying there isn't something. He's saying he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. God praises that. He exalts that. He blesses that. He says, good job. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And the person who tells somebody else, he calls them a talebearer. And it is not good. There's other scriptures that will show you God's attitude towards it, and it is not good. Here he just simply calls you a talebearer, or me, a talebearer. But in other places, he talks about the end result of it. I'm telling you, it is not good. So, moving on. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse person stirs up a conflict. Again, look what he calls that person who does it. He calls you and me perverse. When we stir up a conflict, and isn't that exactly what you do when you gossip? You stir up a conflict. God calls that person perverse. Do you see, are you still seeing this as just a small little bad habit? Or is your awareness coming up to a little bit higher level on this subject? I hope it is. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. How many times have you seen that happen in your life? I've seen it many times already. I mean, it's so sad. And that's exactly what it does. Look at this. Does that unity? Do you see how gossip is literally the arch enemy of unity right here? Gossip separates. And isn't that precisely what we're trying to do when we gossip about somebody? Listen, I don't really like what this person did. I don't like the way they act. Maybe they didn't do anything to me. I just don't really like them, honestly. And you know what I want? I want someone else in agreement with me. I want someone else to not like them along with me. Because then I'll feel even better about it, you know? In fact, I kind of get at them a little bit because I get someone else to not like them. I'm going to build up an arsenal against them. That's what gossip is. It's disunity. I'm going to get my brother to agree with me. We don't like him. You know? And I'm kind of getting a little bit ahead of myself. I'm going to really get into this more in the next teachings about how we do it and all that. But, you know, one of the ways we do that, we cloak it with Christianity. You know, I'm just really concerned about my brother. I just want to share something with you, and then we can just pray together over this, you know? And it's a bunch of hooey. It's a lie from hell. You aren't concerned about him. If you were concerned about him, truly concerned about him, what would you do? Yeah, you'd do one of two things maybe. Go talk to them and try and help them. Or go into your closet before God and pray for them. Stand up in their behalf. Get in Satan's face and come against their enemy. fight for them, go to battle for them. That's what you would do if you really were concerned about them. You and I would not go talk to somebody else and tell them their dirty laundry. So it's a lie from hell. Let's call it what it is. Amen. The next verse. Proverbs 20:19. Is that where I am? A gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. Wise counsel from Almighty God. You got someone who's talking all the time and they're always talking about other people. God says what? Avoid them. Stay away from them. There's a reason why. He's not saying it's not a matter of being mean. He's telling you how to guard your heart. Because you know those are seeds of death that they're sowing into your heart. James 1:26 says this. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pretty strong language. Listen, gossip, I want to take this to the next level. Right? I don't step this up a notch. I want you to understand something about gossip. Gossip destroys the life, the very life of the gossiper. If you are a gossiper, you will literally destroy your own life with it. I'm going to show you that from Scripture, but first I just want to make the point, and I'm going to back it up by Scripture. I want you to see this. How many of you know someone who gossips a lot? Have you ever noticed this? Their life is filled with problems. Constantly. They go from crisis to crisis to crisis. And it seems to be unexplainable. They can't even explain it. They're always talking about other people, and yet their car is always breaking down. Their spouse leaves them. They've got fights with their boss. They've got problems on the job with their coworkers. They have constant problems. There's a reason for it. A very specific spiritual reason for it. It's simply this. You open that door, you license Satan to come into your life and wreak havoc into your life. Because you are in spiritual violation. You're breaking a spiritual law by gossiping. You license Satan to move in your life when you do it. I mean, if that doesn't put the fear of God in you, I don't know what does. I mean, it does me. I know this from the Scripture. And so when I think about getting ready to talk about someone, I go, ooh, 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 ooh. Shut the lip. Shut the mouth. I am not going to open that door. It's literally opening the door to Satan to wreak havoc in your life when you do it. Look at some scriptures on this. Look what the Word of God says about this. Proverbs 18:7 says this, a fool's lips enter into contention. All right? You start talking things that are, it brings contention. He says, a fool does that. And his mouth calls for blows. His own mouth is saying, come lay me to waste. His mouth, the person who's gossiping, calls for blows. Do you get what it's saying? A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Look at this next set of scriptures. Proverbs 6:12-15. A worthless person. I was wondering if it was going to fit on the screen. A little tight there. A worthless person. Look at God's description of a person who gossips. A worthless person. I know this is heavy, folks, but this isn't for putting condemnation on any of us. This isn't for kicking any of us in the teeth. This is honestly to raise our awareness so we can kick Satan in the teeth and say, no more. You will not have place in my life to do this ever again. That's why we're doing this, all right? It's not for any other reason. Listen, every single person in this room, bar none, have been guilty of gossip. All right, so all I'm saying here is this is a new day, right? Clean slate. From here on, forth, what's that saying? I was going to say it in Spanish. That's weird. It just came up to me in Spanish. Now I'm trying to think of it in English. Let's just go from yeah. Henceforth and forevermore. Let's go with that one. All right. Henceforth and forevermore, let's just determine today is the day we stop. No more. We just say, Satan, no more. You have no more place in my life in this area. That's all I'm trying to encourage us to do. Not have any guilt over the past. I'm just saying from today forward, no more. That if we would agree together as a body to do that, we slam the door on Satan's number one weapon. So look at this. A worthless person, a wicked man. I mean, when I read, I love, let the word burn it out of your heart. Don't back away from the word because it's like, ooh, I don't like that. Let it burn it out. Read it and go, yeah, I do not want to be considered a worthless person or a wicked man in the eyes of my Father, in the eyes of God. So what do I need to do? Read the rest of the verse and don't have anything to do with it. And then you won't be this person that's a worthless person and a wicked man. Walks with a perverse mouth. Now, it goes on to describe. What is that person with a perverse mouth? He winks with his eyes. Hey, about this guy. He shuffles his feet. He points the finger. You get the picture? He's talking about this person. Hey, you know about so-and-so? Perversity is in his heart. That's really what's going on. It's perversity. It's demonic. It's not of God, what he or she is doing. He devises evil continually. Look at it. Look at this. He sows discord. That's a gossiper. That's what a gossip does it not? It's sowing discord. Right? I go to my brother and I want to talk to him about sister so-and-so. What am I doing? I'm sowing discord between him and her. I'm going to plant poisonous seeds in his or her mind about my brother or my sister, thereby bringing division between them. He sows discord. Therefore, look at the end result. Remember I said a gossiper will bring destruction to their own life. And I said, I'm going to show you scriptures that prove that out. Look what the result of this person is. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. Look at the next verse. I'm going to have to wrap up with this. Psalm 101. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Is that heavy? Heavy for me. Wow, I've got so much to say. So, let it suffice to say for now, how many of you would agree this is no small, bad, little habit I've got? Amen? We're renewing our mind to the Word of God on this subject so we can raise up a standard against the enemy. Praise God. All right. Worship team, if you want to come up.
Louis, if you could put up the tithe slide. Why don't we go ahead and stand? We're going to continue worship with tithes and offerings. We've been doing this slide that we read together, and it's just a way for us to engage around an act of worship. So if you have your tithe or your offering with you, let's hold on to that and let's read this together. As we receive today's offering, according to the scripture, we are believing you, Father, for heaven to be opened and earth to be invaded, with such blessing that there will not be room to receive it. Storehouses will be unlocked, miracles created, dreams and visions released, anointing, gifting, calling, positions and promotions, provisions and resources to go to the nations. We will have more than enough to be generous on all occasions. We are believing for souls and more souls from every generation to be saved and set free, carrying kingdom revelation. Thank you, Father, for the joyful opportunity to give to you as I join my value system to yours. You will show favor, blessings, and increase upon me so that I will be able to co-labor with heaven and see Jesus get his full reward. Hallelujah. So usher, it's they already come up? No. All right. Let's worship.